This National Review online audio feature is brought to you by the following sponsor.
Get the clearest, most insightful, and thought-provoking political analysis at OutLoudOpinion.com. OutLoud Opinion podcasts the editorial page of Investor's Business Daily. Columnists David Limbaugh, Dennis Prager, Michelle Malkin, Thomas Sowell, Michael Barone, and many more. You can even keep up with the left by listening to The New Republic. This is the material talk radio hosts read for show prep. Go to www.outloudopinion.com. All one word, outloudopinion.com. Podcasts for thinkers.
That was one of Franz Joseph Haydn's Derbyshire Marches, and this is your irrepressibly genial host, John Derbyshire, reporting to you once again from National Review's state-of-the-art sound studio up here on the 95th floor of Buckley Towers in the heart of Manhattan. Many listeners have commented on our new policy of including commercials in Radio Derb broadcasts. Some of you consider that these promotional clips sully the purity, the spare elegance of our broadcasts. Other listeners are gratified to know that by tuning in to Radio Derb, they are helping to increase the revenue flow into their favourite conservative web magazine. Others want to know why we aren't running ads like those they see on their favourite Fox News show. Ads for automobiles, Caribbean cruises, and erectile dysfunction medications. Another group of listeners is demanding ads for more conservative-themed products. Firearms, pickup trucks, and Coulter books, and oggetti religiosi. On all these listeners, I urge patience. It's a long climb to the top of the ratings charts, and we have barely scaled the foothills yet. We'll get there, though, and one day soon all those succulent ad revenues will drain away from O'Reilly, Hannity, Limbaugh and Dobbs into the coffers of Radio Derb. It's just a matter of time. Mighty oaks from little acorns grow. And before anyone can shout nuts, here is the Derb report for this second full week of April. Our Secretary for Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, has hit the ground running. She is determined to make the homeland secure and is launching initiatives all over the place. To begin with, Secretary Napolitano has identified the two great looming threats to our security: Canada and our own conservatives. On the first of those threats, she told a symposium at the Brookings Institution last month that the administration will take steps to make the US-Canadian border more secure. From June 1st this year, Canadians will have to show a passport when entering the USA. This is great news for us immigration restrictionists. It offers the hope that the flow of Canadian high school dropouts into our northern states will at last be stanched. American citizens in Montana and Minnesota will no longer have to wait in line at the hospital emergency desk behind people named Mackenzie and Tweed, using it as their primary healthcare service. School teachers in Washington State will no longer have to waste their time dealing with kids who think that the last letter of the alphabet is called Z. Loggers in Maine will no longer have their wages undercut by illegal Quebecois labour. The streets of Fargo and Boise will no longer be terrorised by gangs like the dreaded Moose Marauders or the even more dreaded MS-13. MS, of course, standing for Manitoba and Saskatchewan, and 13 being the average number of years you have to wait for hip replacement surgery in Toronto. Perhaps we'll even be able to dispense with those annoying phone menus that tell you to press 2 if you prefer to hear the word about pronounced aboot. Yes, this may be the first step to reclaiming America from invading hordes speaking incomprehensible languages. And then there is the menace of conservatism. Oh boy, this needs a Radio Derb segment all to itself. Yes, the Intelligence and Analysis Office of the Department of Homeland Security produced a report for distribution to law enforcement officials nationwide, warning that right-wing extremists, fired up by the recession and by the election of a black president, may go on a rampage, blowing up government buildings, as Timothy McVeigh did back in 1995. Just 14 years ago this weekend, actually. McVeigh was a decorated veteran. He'd won the Bronze Star in the First Gulf War. And perhaps with that in mind, this DHS report warned law enforcement officers to be particularly on the lookout for returned servicemen, since those are people with good firearms and explosives training, yet of such low intelligence they are easy dupes for the prowling recruiters of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Quote from the DHS report, quote, "The willingness of a small percentage of military personnel to join extremist groups during the 1990s because they were disgruntled, disillusioned, or suffering from the psychological effects of war, is being replicated today." End quote. Among the report's other warnings was one that extremist groups are stockpiling weapons from fear that the Obamaroids might tear up the Second Amendment. And then there's another warning that amnesty for illegal immigrants could anger people who fear more competition for jobs. Quote, "Right-wing extremism may include groups and individuals that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposition to abortion or immigration." End quote. This is the clearest illustration yet of the essentially totalitarian nature of our political left, now in power. If you are not open borders, pro-choice, hostile to firearms ownership, and anti-military, then you are probably a terrorist. Napolitano is being slapped down pretty hard as we go on the air. The commander of the American Legion has asked for her resignation. That's not going to happen. The entire administration, including the president, would have to resign as well, as they all think just like Napolitano. They will just learn to be a little more discreet about their feelings towards us, the great unwashed, while quietly working a way to advance the politicization of law enforcement. These people are out to crush conservatism, and don't think the law enforcement authorities are on our side. With enough political pressure, police and the FBI will buckle, as they have in Britain, and they'll become eager enforcers of the PC state. Stand by your liberties. Speak up at every outrage. Give some financial help to groups you agree with. Don't go quietly into the darkness and silence. Speaking of financial help for groups that you agree with, you might take a look at Team America, the political action committee set up by Representative Tom Tancredo and Bay Buchanan, sister of Pat, and dedicated to agitating for secure borders and orderly immigration. They have a website at www.teamamericapac.org. and they'll be glad to take your contribution. I mention this in the context of the latest outrage from academia, the ragging of Tom Tancredo by a gang of open borders lunatics when Tom tried to give a speech at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Protesters shouted Tom down. They held up a banner in front of his face, and they broke a window near his head. When police were called, the open borders people assaulted them, and the police had to use pepper spray and batons. The first instinct of the leftist administration at UNC was, of course, to play down the whole incident and try to make sure that Tom Tancredo never gets invited on campus again. However, we all know what really matters to university administrators, even more than their own leftist anti-American convictions. Yep, it's that endowment. When angry calls from alumni started pouring in, UNC administrators felt obliged to extrude some weaselly words of regret. "It was embarrassing," weaseled Chapel Hill Chancellor Holden Thorpe. Thorpe further weaseled that he was, quote, "disappointed," and promised a, can you guess, "full investigation." Well, that's encouraging. Since the whole outrageous incident was caught on film, no doubt this full investigation would lead to some of these student brown shirts being expelled. Right? Don't get mad, listeners. Get even. Do what I did. Go to the website for Tom's PAC and send him $100. Once again, it's www.teamamericapac.org. A segment or two ago, I urged you not to go quietly into the long night of despotism. As a wonderful, stirring example of not going quietly, there were the tea parties of April 15th. Tens of thousands of citizens all over the country demonstrated against the ever-swelling power of government and the ever-bigger bites it's taking out of our personal wealth through taxation and inflation. These events are, of course, inspired by the Boston Tea Party of 1773. As signs that the old American love of liberty and independence is not quite dead yet, they have the wholehearted support of Radio Derb. On the other hand, as a sign that the old American love of liberty and independence is very sick indeed, note that the Boston protesters of 236 years ago raised the cry, "No taxation without representation." The Tea Party protesters of our own time don't have that cry available to them. We do have representation. The destruction of freedom and prosperity is proceeding with the full support of our elected representatives in Congress, under the leadership of a president easily elected by a majority of voters. The reasonable deduction is that either the American people are not what they were, or that there are deep systemic problems in our political system. Or possibly both, which is in fact my opinion. Not everyone approved these Tea Party protests, of course. Congress critter Jan Schakowsky Chicago, of course. Congressperson Schakowsky thinks it's, quote, "despicable" and, quote, "shameful" for citizens to make these protests when the saintly Barack Obama, also from, where's he from? Let's see. Oh, yes, Chicago. When President Obama is working night and day to reduce taxes on 95% of citizens while creating 3.5 million new jobs. Mr. Producer, could we have some Chicago music, please?
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town, Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. I love it.
Thank you. Says the lady from Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town, quote, "It's despicable that right-wing Republicans would attempt to cheapen a significant, honorable moment of American history with a shameful political stunt. Not a single American household or business will be taxed at a higher rate this year." End quote. But, Congress lady, if we're not to be taxed any more, how is this $2 trillion deficit, all these vast bailout and stimulus packages, how is it all going to be paid for? The money has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? I mean, if the government just prints it without any increase in taxation, won't that bring on inflation, destroying my savings? Or if the government just sells bonds to cover it all, assuming they can find anyone willing to buy the bonds, won't those bonds have to be redeemed by our kids eventually? And isn't this just what the Tea Party protesters are protesting? A footnote here, Representative Schakowsky's husband, Robert Creamer, also from Chicago, is a guy who knows all about taxation. 3 years ago, he was sentenced to 5 months in the federal pen, followed by 11 months house arrest for bank and tax fraud. Ah, Chicago. Has any city done so much to bring honour, dignity and integrity to our national life? For a glimpse of the horrors that may be in store should a right-wing government ever come to power in the USA, take a look at Israel, where it's recently happened. The latest news from over there is that the government of Benjamin Netanyahu is going to deport, yes, deport, 100,000 illegal aliens. Listen to the vile nativist hatred being spewed by Israel's head immigration official, Yaakov Ganot. Quote, if I can bear to quote it, quote, "It is unacceptable that factories are closing, Israeli workers are fired, Israeli fathers cannot support their children, and meanwhile, tens of thousands of foreigners are working illegally in Israel." End quote. Did you ever hear such shameless racist ranting from the government of a supposedly civilized nation? Don't Netanyahu and his colleagues know all the sound economic arguments for unrestricted immigration? Haven't they heard about the limitless benefits of diversity? Have they never heard the slogan, "Nobody is illegal"? Shame on these heartless nativist brutes. I expect to hear of a strong diplomatic protest by our government against these disgraceful deportations of people who are, after all, just trying to put falafel on their families. Come on, listeners, make your voices heard. Call your congressman. We can stop this outrage. Yes, we can. Si se puede. The Rasmussen polling organization did a nationwide survey to see whether Americans prefer capitalism over socialism. The answer is, we prefer capitalism, but not by much. 53% of those polled say capitalism is better. 20% say socialism is better, and 27% had no clue. What any of that means is a mystery to me. What do the words capitalism and socialism mean in the early 21st century anyway? Is socialism still the public ownership of the means of production, distribution and exchange? Well, there's some of that in every country. Is capitalism still private enterprise with profits accruing to owners or stockholders? There's some of that in every country too, except maybe North Korea and Cuba. How much state ownership do you have before you're officially a socialist country? How much private enterprise before you're a capitalist country? Milton Friedman famously enthused about what a marvellous experiment in raw capitalism Hong Kong was from the 60s to the 90s, with free trade, low taxes, no industrial policy, and so on. Well, I was living in Hong Kong around the middle of that stretch, and I could have told Milton Friedman, if he'd asked me, that 60% of the population lived in housing that was owned or subsidised by the government, that basic medical care was free, and so was primary education. I could also have told him that people in Hong Kong grumbled constantly about the lack of social security, environmental controls, unemployment and disability relief, and all the other appurtenances of the welfare state. People want some socialism. People everywhere, though the appetite for socialism is different in different countries. We Americans flatter ourselves that the appetite is lower here than in any other big nation, and that this accounts for our prosperity and strength. The Obama administration is gambling on the belief that Americans want more socialism than they currently have. Are they right? We'll find out. But I note that Obama did, after all, get elected. So did this left-wing, socialism-friendly Congress. There must be something there a lot of people like the look of. A lot of people, as in more than the 20% who told Rasmussen they like socialism. In these times, with the financial system trembling and cracking, people think there's security for them in expanding the welfare state and tightening government control on business. When was the last time you heard anyone talk about privatising social security? The case that conservatives have to make is that the calamities of this last few months were caused not by too little political interference in the economy, but by too much. By government leaning on banks to relax lending standards in the name of diversity, for example. And by Congress critters like Barney Frank, Chris Dodd and Maxine Waters trying to supervise things they didn't even understand. And by the George W. Bush administration's enthusiasm for reckless spending and foreign wars. If banks had been left alone to lend or not lend according to strict and impartial credit standards, we'd have been spared a lot of grief. If politicians had established simple, clear rules for investment banking and derivative trading and left the financial industry to get on with it, deregulation might have worked. Now, even Glass-Steagall is looking like a pretty good idea. If President Bush had expressed a firm opinion against bloated budgets and vetoed every spending bill that crossed his desk and quit Iraq and Afghanistan when the punitive point had been made, we'd be in better shape. Politics is the enemy of economics, always and everywhere. Of course, you have to have some politics, just as people insist on some level of welfare provision. But conservatives should make the case that we have far too much politics and that a bigger welfare state will only, inevitably, give us more politics still. The business of America is business. I've got to confess, I have never seen a single episode of American Idol. I know who Simon and Paula are by cultural osmosis, but I couldn't tell you anything much about them or the name of a single winner of this talent show, which is what I understand it to be. I refuse to feel bad about this on the grounds that Simon, Paula and the rest of them probably don't listen to Radio Derb. I'll tune into their show when they tune into mine, all right? I did catch that YouTube clip, though, of the 47-year-old Scottish spinster stealing the show with that sentimental song about having a dream. It all looked like a put-up job to me. I mean, I have this picture of some studio technician prepping the audience. Now we want you all to groan and roll your eyes when she first comes on, and then whoop and holler with appreciation when she hits her high notes. That makes for a nice story, you see. Am I being too cynical here? I certainly hope so. It's not a bad thing to know when your emotions are being manipulated, or, when in doubt, to make the cynical assumption. This is a fallen world, you know. I wouldn't begrudge anyone their 15 minutes of fame, though, so I hope the lady enjoys it while it lasts. Life must get pretty dull up there in West Lothian. Heroes of the week are the US Navy snipers who picked off three Somali pirates simultaneously from a platform that was pitching, rolling, and very likely yawing too on the high seas. That really takes some doing. As a slightly below average shot with a rifle myself, I can't sufficiently express my admiration for the level of skill here. The administration continues to waffle about the larger pirate threat, though, instead of doing what should be done, which is carpet bombing the pirate land bases to oblivion while cutting off all aid to Somalia. Total fertility rate in Somalia is 6.6, the fourth highest in the world. There are plenty more pirates where these came from, and the more aid we send to the wretched place, the more yet there will be. There is nothing we can do to give Somalia a civil society, a sane political system, and a productive economy. What we can do is make it clear to Somalis that messing with our ships will bring them a lot of pain. That should be the core of our policy. Our policy will have been successful when Somali pirates who see an American-flagged ship speed off as fast as they can in the opposite direction. That's it for this week, Radio Derb fans. Congratulations once again to those brilliant Navy snipers. All strength to Tom Tancredo in his fight for secure national borders. Thanks to the Tea Party protesters for stirring up what needs stirring up, and especially to Michelle Malkin for doing so much to help get the movement going. And fie on Janet Napolitano and the weasels at UNC Chapel Hill administration. The Republic has survived another week somehow. More from Radio Derb next week, if the Obamaroids haven't shut us down by then.